Hello and welcome to the Revision Path Podcast, a showcase of the world's black graphic designers, web designers, and web developers. My name is Maurice Cherry, and before I get into this week's interview, I want to remind you about the giveaway that's currently going on. Just visit revisionpath.com/giveaway and enter in your email address, and that's it. The giveaway ends on October 31st, and the winner will be notified via email. Don't forget, we're giving away an iPad mini and an Apple TV, so that's a pretty good giveaway. With me this week is one of DC's finest graphic artists, Buck. You can find Buck online at Mosi, MOSIdesign.com. Here we go. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us who you are. What do you do?
My name is Buck. My name is Rodney Herring. Everybody calls me Buck. I'm a graphic artist here in Washington, D.C. area. You know, doing my thing, East Coast living, having fun, trying to be positive as possible, you know, in these days and times, and enjoying the struggle.
I got you. How do you keep motivated and inspired with what you do?
How do I keep inspired? I think it's the idea that, you know, it's passion. You got to be passionate about what you do, man. Just stay inspired by being passionate about it and loving it. And loving it so much, you know, that there's nothing else you can do. You could do something else, but why would you?
Right.
You know what I mean? So my inspiration is daily, like, yo, I get up and I'm like, oh, I'm still doing this. You know what I mean? I want to keep doing this. Got to keep doing this.
I got you.
You know what I mean? So I think that's the best way. But that's my inspiration.
Okay. Did you have a creative childhood? Sort of, you know, growing up, did that help influence you also?
I mean, I don't think my childhood was overly creative. You know, and it's funny because we didn't talk about this yesterday, but my first inkling was that my dad was like, my dad used to doodle.
Mm-hmm.
Doodle on like newspaper, on the edges of newspaper all the time. And then like, you know, maybe a piece of paper, he'd doodle and do little drawings and stuff like that. And so like, I kind of caught on to it there. And then my mom was a real estate agent and a business school teacher. So a lot of white paper, a lot of time with her in places where there was nothing else to do but sit there and draw and create with a stack of white paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it wasn't like I was, you know, I mentioned it. I know I mentioned it before. Like, I wasn't raised around a bunch of artisans and, you know, people on the artistic scene and, you know, doing all this kind of, you know, all the stuff that we hear about in magazines and all that. I was raised around, you know, basically, you know, the proletariat, good working class people that are just trying to make it. You know what I mean?
So
not overly creative, but, you know, you do it. Whatever you do with it is what you do with it. You know?
Right.
So.
And you went to school for art, too, right?
I went to Hampton and was in their graphic design program.
Okay.
Their two computer big program, you know what I mean? I did that. And I did do a summer class at Maryland Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And under this guy Jerry Litofsky, who was like this big he was the professor for this class I had to take like one credit.
Uh-huh.
Get like one or two credits, but he was teaching like this magazine design program, which was like, you know, I never really gave that dude I did try to shout him out one time, but he was so inspirational to me, man.
Uh-huh.
Just in retrospect, like one of those people where you're like, yo, he's dope,
right?
You know what I mean? And just working on like front covers of magazines and stuff like that, simplicity of that and how you make that really stand out and really strong. So that was about the most I did as far as art education, you know what I mean? Like, you know, besides like high school and stuff like that, regular programs in high school.
Uh-huh. And you had a teacher in high school, right? You had an art teacher.
Yeah.
That sort of also kind of helped you out.
Yeah, because, I had this teacher and she was just really, she kind of gave me a clean slate, you know what I mean? I was like one of those kids, like, you know, a lot of artists where you kind of like, all over the place, maybe a tad bit ADHD, you know, whatever. And
uh-huh.
She really was like, that was the one class where I could talk and work at the same time. I could be social and get work done, and that was cool. You know what I mean? So right. Basically, she was just like, yo, you can, as long as you get the work done, you can talk. You can talk the whole time. You know what I mean? And really kind of like pushed me on the work and was really, really behind like, yo, you can do this. You know, really kind of, you know, sometimes you just need somebody to tell you you can do something.
Right. Someone to just give you that permission to,
right.
to pursue what you want to do.
Exactly. And I remember, man, the first t-shirt I ever designed was in her class. I was trying to do like a kind of a Jordan-esque t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
And it was horrible. But it was like, but I think my boys even liked that joint. I remember, I think I might have got one or two printed. But she was like, yeah, you can do this. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. I mean, that was like my first, I know that was the first t-shirt I ever put out. You know what I mean? But yeah, so she was a good inspiration for me. And then I told you, I think I mentioned before, there was like this lady, my mom had this friend and you know, it was like a casual friend, very, very casual friend. Somebody I probably hadn't seen since, you know, probably haven't seen her in probably almost 25 years. But this woman was like an artist and she like worked out of her house.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was like, yo, I guess my mom needed me to stay somewhere one day. I might've been like 10, 11, 12, somewhere around there. I mean, when I hung out with her, I was like, what are you? She's like, yo, she was just painting and drawing and all this. I was like, yo, that's what she did for a living. You know what I mean? Like, uh-huh. She just kind of did. That's what she did. And actually, funny, now that I think about all of this, there was one other cat. This cat that, this guy used to live up the hill from me. And he was, like, older. He might have been, like, 10, 15 years older than me. And we used to play ball. We used to all play basketball together. And he was, like, in this kind of, like, weird church thing. But he was, like, he was a graphic designer. You know what I mean? I remember like going to his house, like I think his name was like Norm or something. I don't know. Young married guy. He might have been like early 30s, late 20s. And I remember going to his house. He had a big like drafting board and stuff. He was just showing me stuff. Like, yo, this is so cool. You know what I mean? But it's like in retrospect, you don't even remember stuff like that until like you think back on it. You know what I mean? He right. He never really showed me that much, but it was like the stuff I did see. I was like, oh, this dude is cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So yeah, man.
It kind of reminds me of this. This quote by Ira Glass, who does This American Life, he was talking about how nobody tells this to people that sort of just start out in creative work, that, you know, the first couple of years that you start making stuff, like, it's just not going to be good. So you shouldn't sort of focus on trying to be, I guess, like, perfect right out the gate. You know, make your few things. Someone sees that you have potential. They sort of foster that potential. And I think it's important when you have that early on, like in middle school, high school or something, because it feels like right around that time as you're graduating high school, people sort of have this expectation that you should know like exactly what you want to do for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Like there should be this straight arrow to this is my career path and this is what I'm going to do and that's that. But, you know, life is, you know, life doesn't work that way. So
no, it doesn't work that way at all. And then, you know, a lot of times, you know, we're not aware. I mean, I wasn't aware until I was probably like 23, 24, you know what I'm saying, of what was going on around me. You know what I mean? So like, I didn't realize that when you graduated from college, then you went to like grad school or you went and found a job. I know you were supposed to go find a job. But I didn't get it, dude. I just didn't even understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I was really, really, really kind of lost. You know what I mean? And then I kind of discovered that, yo, I was really good at this. You know what I mean? And I really had a knack for it. So you don't know until you get to the point where you actually know, which is kind of like, duh, what are you talking about?
But right.
it's really that simple. You know what I mean? And you got to go through that. You got to go through the struggle that you know, that unknown struggle. As much as you may think you understand what's going on in that struggle, you have no clue until you get to the other side.
Did you have some sort of a big break or was there some big project or something that you got which really sort of solidified to you that this is what I should be doing in terms of what you do now, which is mostly design?
Actually, yeah, when I worked at the museum.
Okay.
Worked at the museum for like 2.5, 3 years. And, it didn't end great, but they finally let me design for this. They had this 9-wide, huge video screen.
Mm-hmm.
9 huge, you know, they're basically movie screens, 9 movie screens stuck together. And they let me do this project for them. And it was like, they let me go into this booth and create all this stuff and graphics. I was, you know, so I was doing some editing. I had some help with the editing part and designed all this stuff. And it was like, I was like, yo, I can control this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I can control the horizontal and the vertical. I got this. You know what I mean? And then to see that so large and being seen by an audience that, you know, I didn't, you know, what do I, you know, just anybody and every Joe Schmo off the street is walking in and seeing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, and it was nothing but, yo, this is good. It was good work. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that kind of, I think that really put me on the path to be like, you know, I mean, you know, once you get in there, you start feeling yourself. I really felt myself.
Uh-huh.
You know, once I got in there, about, I guess I was about 25. I thought, I was like, yo, I'm dope. There's a lesson you learn from thinking you're dope too soon. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's like Anakin Skywalker. You know what I'm saying? When Obi-Wan tells you that you don't have the high ground, sometimes you got to understand you don't have the high ground, dude. You know what right. I'm saying? You jump and then your legs get cut off and then you got to start again. You know?
Right. But I think it's good though, like for young designers, young developers, I think it's good to have that hubris when you first start out, because then you don't know what you can't do. You know?
Yeah. You got to, I mean, listen, it's like there's nothing wrong with being the big dog until you realize you're not the big dog.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then, but the thing is, once you realize you're not the big dog, you don't have to all of a sudden believe that you're not a dog at all.
Uh-huh.
You feel, it's kind of like, you know, there's nothing wrong with thinking you're the alpha and then realizing you're not. And then slowly but surely becoming that alpha that you already know that you are. And that's part of the struggle. You know what I mean? Like, to be great, you have to understand that you're not always great and you're not the greatest.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, like we can even talk about Kanye's new album. Like, you know, and not that I really want to talk about it, but it's like, like once you say I am God, then that means, guess what? That means you get knocked off the pedestal.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You've set yourself up to be knocked off the pedestal and then you have to prove yourself.
Right.
So prove yourself. You're God. Okay. Show us your God, dude. But, you know, it's just like that. It's like, yo, you know, so I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot of humility in that. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
It took me actually getting fired from the museum for me to start to understand the humility in what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's still taking me time to get to the point where I'm like, okay, you're not always right. But if you've got a good idea and you've got focus, you're on the right path.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And that's what you need, focus. You know what I mean? That and unwillingness to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, so.
There was a story that you had relayed when we talked earlier about an artist that you sort of tried to reach out to.
Yeah. And, you know, I think I remember what his name is, but I won't mention it.
Yeah, don't you'll have to pitch his name.
Yo, as I was thinking about, like, it's funny because I had a chance to think about some of the stuff. Like, yeah, this dude out of Baltimore, and he was like a big-time artist. I mean, for his type of, his medium and what he was doing with his art. And it was like the early 90s, and I had just gotten out of college, and I was like, yo, I was just starting to figure, I was like, yo, guess I need to get an internship. I need to get up under somebody so I can learn some tutelage or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked this dude's number up. Either somebody gave me his number, I looked it up. And I was like, yo, I'm going to contact this dude. I know who he is. Oh, I'm getting his information from somewhere. And I hit him up. And he was like, why are you calling me? Why would you call me? What do you want? And I was like, dude, I'm trying to get a, you know, I didn't say dude. I was like, sir, I'm just trying to get an internship, trying to, you know. He's like, no. Something. I mean, he was like blatantly like, mean, rude, disrespectful, just kind of like, just, you know what I mean, like shot me down. It was kind of like, whoa, like this is, you know, this isn't what it's about, is it? You know what I mean? It was
yeah.
kind of like who shoots you down at this point, you know what I mean, when you're 21. I was probably 21 on the dot.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that was that dude, I wish him nothing but luck.
is he still a big artist?
I haven't really heard his name that often. I don't really hear his name like that anymore.
Okay.
I don't, but he was big. Like when I say he was big. Like I remember, you know, I can't, you know, it's like I remember him being like everybody talking about his work around that time. So it's kind of like, you know, we'll see. Maybe, you know, maybe I'll run into him one day. We can have a conversation. I mean, I'd love to have a combo with him.
Right. But it didn't deter you, though, because now you've got Mostly Design. Talk a little bit about how you got that started.
I started Mostly while I was still at the museum. It was like my first year in. And I had gotten some projects with like NAACP and some other folks. And so I was like, yo, I guess I needed to start my own company. and actually went into business with a friend. And I was like, yo, you know, I'm going to do this design thing. And I really want, you know, this, I'm going to do this design thing. And I was a little bit ahead of myself. Mm-hmm. I really didn't understand what I was doing. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, yeah, I'm going to start a company. But you don't really realize what it what really entails owning a design company. You know what I mean? But you know you're going to do it, and I can do it. So started a company in like 98. Yeah, I started in 98. Just tried to make it on my own. And realized what a struggle it was. Mm-hmm. And it actually wasn't that bad. In retrospect, my first year out after I left the museum was a good year. Like I did like a few opening sequences for this show that was going to be on like PBS or like one of those channels. Uh-huh. And I did like some other work, but it scared the hell out of me because when you work for yourself, your checks don't come every 2 weeks.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Exactly. And getting used to that, getting used to getting off of the teat is kind of like, yo, it's like, what? Like, yeah. I mean, I don't get paid every 2 weeks. I'm starving. And you're actually like, no, you're not starving. You just got to spend your money differently. You got to be wiser with your decision with your money. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So it's like, really like, yo, what? Like, this scared me. So like, after the first year, I went back and taught school. Went back and taught, and I was like, but at the end of that year, I was done. It's a funny story. Like the first day of classes, I was teaching like this elementary school. Great setup for me. Really didn't have much to do. I was running like a computer lab and after school program. And I remember telling the kids, you know, you the first day you do like almost a show and tell with the kids and tell them what you do. And so I was like, you know, and I have to be explicit, not in the way I say this, but so it was like in front of class, like, you know, I'm a graphic designer and blah, 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 blah. And this is a city school. This is a D.C. city school. And these are sixth graders.
Okay.
You know, I said, I'm a graphic designer and I design this and that. And that.
Oh, you said sixth graders? That's a rough age.
Yeah. And this kid said to me, why the fuck would you be here then?
Oh, what?
Yeah, and it was so wild out the way he said it. I couldn't even be mad at him. I went to send him to office. I was like, yo, that is the realest thing that's ever been said to me. Because it was so honest. You know what I'm saying? It was so honest and it came straight from his, like, he was like, yo, why would you be here? But he said it, he cussed and said it, and I was like, and I was sitting there. And I was like, you know what? I can't even send you to the office. I'm like, dude, that might be the best question ever. So I was out of there by the end of the year.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And I mean, when I say it was a cushy position, the way they set me up, it was cushy. So I could have stayed there and chilled out. But I was back out of there and back working for myself after that year. And those first 3 years after that were a struggle. You know what I'm saying? Say two to three years after that were a struggle. You know what I mean? But it was worth it. And you get it.
Right.
You know where you're supposed to be at. You know, I know I mentioned it yesterday. That was my church. Like, you know, when you're not in your church, you feel it. You know what I mean? Like, you want to get back.
Yeah.
To get back to your religion, whatever it is, whatever makes you go. You know what I mean? And getting just a check didn't make me go. Mm-hmm. That made me feel a little, not empty, just uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Like in the sense that, why am I here? What am I doing this for? Why would I do this?
Right.
You know what I mean? So I really appreciated that lesson in that kid saying that. Like, yo, what? Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you be doing what you do? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's the most important thing, man. Just getting that, get back out there and do what you do. And then, you know, things start to grow, you know, I know I mentioned patience and persistence. That's all it is. You know what I mean? Because it's going to come. If you keep building at it, if you keep building it, and you keep working at it, you keep whacking at it, whatever you're doing, it's going to build. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It'll build itself out. You know, if you stay on the path and you are actually, and you actually are patient with your craft and patient with it, develop it and are persistent in trying to make it happen, it's gonna happen for you. And that's the most important thing. So, you know, with Mosi, I mean, I went from barely making enough to pay the bills to clearly doing way better than paying the bills. You know what I mean? We went from my clients range from like Streets magazine when they were alive and kicking, to like Adidas, you know, and that was when I started, we started working with AM, my company, Artwork and Bill Ashaka, uh-huh. AM Radio, which was like an offshoot, which was like, we were doing like live paintings and stuff like that. And then we also ended up doing like some print work for like Scion and then doing like larger projects, experience like projects. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. With those kind of companies. But that's, you know, that all built up from day one of just struggling to eat.
Yeah.
You know, so it takes time to get to that point. And then, you know, then I had to drop off after that. I mean, you know, we had the financial crisis. Mm-hmm. So now I'm rebuilding again, you know what I mean? And struggling and kicking and fighting, you know, but what else are you going to do? You know what I mean? What am I going to do? I'm not going to Best Buy to get a job. Yeah, nothing is Best Buy. No disrespect to anybody at Best Buy. You know what I'm saying? I understand what you do. I can't do that. You know what I mean? I could do it for a short amount of time, but then what?
Right.
You know, I'm in there complaining and trying to get out of there, and that's not life.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, but I mean, you know, it just takes time to get there, dude. You just got to get there.
Now, Mosi and Bilashaka, are those both Swahili?
Yeah. Mosi means something rare or firstborn.
Uh-huh.
And then Mbilashaka, what we call it, we call it artwork Mbilashaka because Mbilashaka was something else.
Okay.
But I won't get into that, brother, right on.
Okay.
Out to the people. But we called it artwork without a doubt.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's artwork without a doubt. So when we got up on the canvas, you get, you know, four or five dope artists on the canvas or whatever we're doing an experience, creating an experience for somebody. You know, we were like really without a doubt. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're making it happen. We're giving you our all, mm-hmm. you know, which is that's the most important thing in the world.
Yeah. I had a friend back in, this was maybe like elementary, middle school, maybe even, I think he was also right at high school. I had a friend, his name was Mosi, and I remember his name meaning, I think it was like firstborn or mm-hmm. something to that effect. So with Mosi Design, of course, you say you sort of built up your clients along the way. Do you do a lot of networking now? Are you involved a lot in the local design scene or design community?
I don't do a lot of networking. A large percent of my work has always been like word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Even the stuff like, you know, we did like, I did UNCF Eating of Stars with the whole Lou Rawls thing. Did that like 2 years running. That was like 07, 08.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Like one of those 2 years. I did it for like 2 years. And that was word of mouth how I got that work. And, you know, that's been my thing. And now, I mean, I still don't really network. I mean, a lot of like the, so I do a lot of flyers and a lot of print, you know, print posters, a lot of posters and stuff like that for, you know, events in the city. Mm-hmm. And in the greater area. And that's kind of just built up over time, man. Like, you know, I don't know if you know anything about DC, but like I do a lot of like the hip hop, you know, posters and all that good stuff, you know, uh-huh. and it's not just flyers anymore. It's like, you know, we want to do flyers, posters and banners for summer solstice, whatever they call it. It's a summer, whatever, summer big party, whatever the big next big party is. And I'm like, okay,
uh-huh.
I've done a lot of that work. And you can see that in that portfolio. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you go like near the end of that portfolio, it's a huge number of flyers and posters I've done for like them and Howard Theater. And, you know, but that's grown over time. That's just me staying in it and staying in my lane and doing good work for people or trying to do good work for people.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting, I don't know what the best way is to call it, but I guess an interesting contrast between what you hear a lot from like the mainstream design community where they say you have to go to conferences and networking and, you know, you sort of rub shoulders with the people in the big leagues. But there's also this other way, you know, not everybody I think is that. Might be that type of person to go out and do networking like that, you know. So if they sort of stick to the, kind of like what you're doing, you do like posters and flyers and things like that, but it still gets the word out. You're still designing. You're still doing your work. The audience is, you know, probably not the same, but you're still.
My audience ranges. Uh-huh. You know, my audience ranges from like, you know, done government work, corporate work to like doing the posters and flyers.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And it's all like a lot of stuff still comes out like, yo, I saw this poster that this dude did, you know, and I need some stuff designed. And it's like, yo, that's Buck that did that. Oh, he did that too? well, I'm going to holler at him so he can do this, this, and this for me also. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, cool. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And, you know, and then, you know, I told you, like, even some of the newer people that have been coming my way have been like, you know, your stuff looks real urban. That's not exactly what I want. I'm like, well, they don't want to say urban. They was like, yo, you got a style that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
I kind of want to work with you, but it's a little too, and I don't know what to work. I'm like, it's, you can call it urban or whatever. It's not even that urban. It's just a little bit more raw. You know, my work is more raw, and it's raw but detailed.
Uh-huh.
So, I get a lot of clients that they see what it is. You know what I mean? Let's make it happen, baby. Let's get it. You know what I mean? I'm here. But I don't think that necessarily me. I think that if I went to conferences, I'd be drunk all the time. And that's kind of me. Like, I don't really like, I don't just want to go and stand around with you with like some pamphlets in my hand talking to you about what you do. Uh-huh. That's not fun to me.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And I know it's not just supposed to be fun, but I'd rather go sit in a room, in a dark room with my computer, and, you know, and create.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like that. I'd rather do that. And then, you know, if you want to contact me, you know, somebody wants to contact me, boom, holler at me.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, and I've done exceptionally well over the years off of just being in my space. You know, I know when to talk to people. You know, we go out and have a drink. But and it's another thing, you know, and I will say this to young designers, and I'm about to get back out there and start doing it. Sometimes conferences are good for you if you need to just learn some new stuff. You want to go in there and learn some new stuff for like a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. You know what I mean? Don't just be in your hovel. I'm contradicting myself here, but it's a little bit of both for me. Like, I think you should be in your hovel, or you should, you know, create a large body of work and then let people, you know, talk about it and push the next person to you, or, you know, send people your way. But then sometimes maybe you do need to go to conference so you can learn something new or be involved with other people. Mm-hmm. Or know that you're not alone. But if you have the wherewithal and you know that you're not alone and you can sit in your room and you can get that word of mouth going, do it. It's kind of like, you know, there is no... You know, there's no
right or wrong way.
Right. It's just however you do it. It's whatever works best for you, man.
Right.
And that's what's most important.
Where do you see yourself in terms of business or your other projects? Where do you see yourself in like the next 5 years or so?
I think I mentioned this before. I'd like to be on the beach in the Mediterranean with a woman with long dark hair and olive skin, watching the waves roll up on her sun-soaked skin. That is good design right there. That's excellent design. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I mean, 5 years, man. I mean, you know, I hope to expand. You know what I mean? I've expanded before and had to contract, you know, and then I've had to contract a little bit. Now I want to expand again. I want to get bigger, be better. You know, really get into this experience design stuff again. I mean, we've been talking about marketing and experience design stuff, mm-hmm. which was really big on my list. And I still have like my notes from 3 years ago and still writing notes, and I'm still trying to build on it and trying to get projects to push me that way. As far as design is concerned, you just want to do great work for people and do some beautiful stuff.
Right. What was I going to ask? I know you talked before about radio, AM.
AM radio.
AM radio, sorry, AM radio. And that's more of like an art collective, live art event
sort of thing. Right? Yeah, and it's the funny thing is we did start getting to the experience design stuff. Like, we did this huge project for Scion a few years back. And there's a link to it on my site where we took over a house and we turned the house into like, you know, an art exhibit / art show / event space. You know, it was pretty much everything. It encapsulated everything. You know, had some parties in there. It's a beautiful thing we did for them. And that's the direction that's going in. I mean, because a live painting, you know, to be honest, got played out a long time ago. You know, we took the script from Heavyweights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were like, they're dope. And I remember we ran into them in Vegas, maybe. This was probably like 4 or 5 years ago. And they thought we were dope. You know what I mean? We were doing some stuff for Timberland. And I think they were doing some stuff for like one of those cell phone companies. And they came over and looked at our booth and like, yo, they thought our stuff was off the chain. So, we took it from them. And then, you know, once you create something that's dope, everybody else wants to do it. Mm-hmm. And nobody else wants to take the time to understand what makes you so great at doing whatever you do. They just want to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, in terms of AM radio, like, we really studied what cats had, you know, because we had Barnstormers, Heavyweights. I forgot whoever else was out there really doing it heavy. It's like, yo, but we're doing, like, you know, we're talking Paintbrush, Five Cats, you know what I mean? Paints, you know, whatever our surface we could find, you know what I mean? And we went hard and we did a great job and we were very disciplined in it. You know what I mean? Even though it's art, but it was very disciplined. You know what I mean? Like, it's live and it's disciplined and we're getting it done. You know what I mean? In front of dope audiences that are loving what we're doing. You know, we're traveling doing this. That's what it is. It's not these fools that jump up here, no disrespect to anybody, and paint for somebody in front of an audience. And, you know, the audience cheers because they painted.
Mm-hmm.
No, that blows. That blows in the end. Because what are you really, what are you really creating? What's your end product? Is your end product any good? You know, is it something that people like just because you said you did it? Or is it something that stands the test of time? You know what I mean? So I got into this whole thing about, like, us creating shit that's monumental. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, it's like, yo, are you creating something that's going to last more than a couple weeks? That somebody just doesn't just take a picture you just, you know, holding up, but a picture they're like, yo, this is on my wall in my home.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And this is like, and not some old bullshit you end up, you know, take that art. You know how people take art and it becomes disposable?
Yeah.
And they put up on their wall for a couple of days and they throw it away, or, you know, put it up there for a year and they're like, oh, this was terrible. I can't believe I bought this.
Yeah.
I would never want to create anything like that. You know what I mean? Like, that's like the antithesis of everything I live for. You know what I mean? So I can look at... I know a lot of artists in the city and, you know, on the East Coast, shit, both coasts. And, you know when you're doing the right thing, you know when you're just making it and you're getting by.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, the thing with AM radio is artwork without a doubt. Like, you know, I mean, you can, and, you know, artwork is pretty much on the, you know, the way you see it, you know, it's pretty much the eye of the beholder. But it's not just the eye of the beholder. It's deeper. It's a little bit deeper than that. There comes a point when you know somebody's created something from the bottom of their heart, or, you know, has put their all into it and is really, you know what I'm saying, they're doing it not just for art's sake, but saying, yo, I'm creating something for you and it's going to be dope. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to take the time to make sure you know that we're putting our heart into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? No BS behind it. Artwork without a doubt. So, you know, I've seen and watched a lot of cats over the last couple of years take and try to do the same thing, or, you know, one or two people get up on the stage with some paintbrush and they paint some crap, and what is it? It's crap. And, you know, it's not my positive note. I'm sorry, y'all, but woo, that's just one of those things. It's one of those things that you have to be aware of. And, I wish everybody the best. Just do more.
Yeah. And it's important to bring that same passion to really whatever creative work that you do. You know, yeah. I think most designers know when they're just getting by, you know, as opposed to really like doing something that involves that passion that they can really speak about and feel strongly about. So I totally get where you're coming from there. Yeah. So just to wrap this up, where can our readers, our audience find you online?
You can find me at mosidesign.com, mosidesign.com. Artwork and Bill Ashaka. I don't even know if we have anything up on our site right now, but you can find us on Facebook as Artwork and Bill Ashaka or AM Radio, and you can find us at Mosi Design on Facebook. We have a Tumblr, Mosi Design Tumblr. Don't go to that though; it's kind of, you know, it's a lot of control on Tumblr. everybody knows that. And you know, hey, find me in the streets. Also, you know, you can find me at adrinkwithfriends.com. That's my other little venture, adrinkwithfriends.com. Me and a few of my friends like to have drinks with good people, and I like to find good photos to throw up there. So, you know, come out and have a good time with us.
Nice, man. Sounds good. Well, thank you for taking time out of your day for this interview, and we'll speak with you soon.
Yeah, man. Stay positive.
All right.
All right, man.
And that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. Special thanks to Buck for the interview. Don't forget to check him out at mosidesign.com. That's mosidesign.com. And don't forget about our iPad mini and Apple TV giveaway. Just head over to revisionpath.com/giveaway to enter. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.